You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We played them well 5-on-5, and at the end of the day, it was a special teams battle, and their power play has been really good as of late, so it's on me and the rest of the team to stay disciplined, and we didn't do that tonight, so they capitalized.
Disappointing end to the homestand for the Calgary Flames, who now have 4 days in between games before they head to Vancouver to take on their Pacific Division rivals on Hockey Night in Canada. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. Happy Tuesday. Logan Gordon along with you in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. For Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, worried about radon? They install custom mitigation systems to reduce your risk. To find out more, visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate. Flames fall to the Washington Capitals 5-2 to close off a four-game homestand. And as you heard from Braden Pahal there, special teams the difference. Two power play goals for Alex Ovechkin. And the Capitals move into a playoff spot, at least temporarily, in the Eastern Conference. Now the Flames get some much-needed rest ahead of the final stretch of their season. We'll dive into what we saw last night and talk about those special teams coming up in just moments. We'll also get the thoughts on the homestand from our pal Julian McKenzie. He covers the Flames for The Athletic and, of course, the contributor here on Sportsnet 960. See how he felt about Dustin Wolf. We'll get you some of the latest news on the Calgary Flames today. A couple roster moves by the team. Also be joined by Justin Cuthbert, co-host of The Fan pregame show on Sportsnet. Go around some of the biggest NHL storylines with Justin. And a little bit later on in the program, GM meetings taking place right now. The GMs with some rule change proposals, that could take place as soon as next season in the NHL. We'll let you know what those rule changes might be. And we'll also stop in Philly, where head coach John Tortorella making his presence known just 34 days after being named captain. Sean Couturier will be a healthy scratch for the Philadelphia Flyers ahead of their matchup on Tuesday night, and he's not too happy about it. We'll talk about all of that and more as the show rolls on. Connor and Shan, my outstanding producers, on this Tuesday afternoon. Fan feedback line open to you at 960-960. Would love to hear from you following a Flames loss to the Washington Capitals. And we kick today off. It's an off day for the Calgary Flames. CBA mandated they're off 4 straight days from game action, but will not practice for the next 2 days before they come back on Thursday and get set to take on the Vancouver Canucks on Saturday. Then into Buffalo as well. Back home against Buffalo. Busy schedule coming up for the Calgary Flames, but the rare break in between the schedule here and some time to reassess after the Washington loss. Can tell you on this Tuesday that Jacob Pelche has been assigned to the American Hockey League's Calgary Wranglers. He had suffered an upper body injury that caused him to miss most of the season so far. He's gotten back into 13 games with the Flames this season. He posted 1 goal and 3 points. Hit 4 games with the Wranglers in January and February, where he had 3 points in that stretch. We'll see if he's in the lineup Tuesday night for the Wranglers. They're in action against the Bakersfield Condors at 7 o'clock, a game that we'll have for you here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan. It's also expected to be the Wranglers' debut of Sam Morton, who was signed to an amateur tryout deal by the Calgary Flames, and I believe are going to work on the details to finalize his non-ELC with the group. Of course, that news came down yesterday. The Flames had announced that they had signed center Sam Morton after his university career with Minnesota State, but the league rejected it due to his ELC signing age being 25 when the contract process is technically in September, in September. So he's not eligible to sign an ELC, but I believe the Flames have resubmitted and expect that to go through the league office on this Tuesday, so shouldn't be any worry there. They will get Sam Morton signed up to that contract, but he has still signed his amateur tryout deal with the Wranglers and is expected to make his debut for them tonight. So we'll keep an eye on that. So potentially Pelche and Morton in the lineup for Trent Call and the Calgary Wranglers. But of course, we're focused in on the Flames and the loss to the Washington Capitals. And you heard it from Braden Pahal coming in. Special teams, all the difference in this one. Alex Ovechkin makes it 2-0 and 3-0 with back-to-back power play goals in the second period. The penalty kill not able to stop one of the greatest goal scorers of all time. The power play continues to, frankly, be abysmal for the Calgary Flames. 0-3 on a night where they really could have used some of the momentum from a power play goal. And they fall to the Washington Capitals 5-2. And that's where we're going to talk a lot about the Flames to start this, because I know it's been a point of frustration for a lot of people. Saw it on social media last night. I'm sure there'll be some thoughts on it on the text line at 960-960. But I can't help but look back at last night and think of, you know, the Kevin Rooney goal that opens the scoring for the Calgary Flames, that gets challenged by the Washington Capitals for goaltender interference. Turns out it's not goalie interference. The Flames go on a 2-minute power play and a real chance to swing momentum. You're down 3-1. A power play goal there makes it 3-2 midway through the second period. And again, the team just not able to find any sort of sustained success on the power play. They are one of the bottom three teams in the entire National Hockey League when it comes to power play percentage. And I think the blame gets spread around. I know I've seen the name Mark Savard a lot when it comes to that, but I look at this group, and yes, we can talk about the lack of superstar and the lack of maybe a power play merchant for this group, if that's what you want to call it, but it's just fallen to the level of unacceptable on a night-to-night basis from this group. There's talent there. Jonathan Huberdeau has been much better in the 2024 calendar year. Nazem Kadri. Like, these are guys that have spent lots of time on NHL power plays, and it's just turned into a momentum killer for the Calgary Flames, and it needs to change. I don't know that it changes before the end of the year, but man, does it have to be a priority for this group to get it figured out, because it's frankly, if not the weakest point of their game, one of the weakest points in their game. And in a game like that against Washington, it was a perfect example of how things can change. 5-on-5, I thought they stood up to the Capitals perfectly well. We'll hear that from Ryan Huska coming up in his post-game thoughts in just a moment, but you can't let special teams totally sink your night, and that's what happened.
And it happened against Seattle. Think back that game after Mika Kiprusoff night, special night. They make a comeback in the third period. They play Seattle. They finally get some momentum. And then they go on the power play late in the third, chance to tie it up after Kuzmenko scored. Kuzmenko had a chance. Mangiapane had a chance. They didn't capitalize. Jared McCann takes the puck the other way, scores shorthanded, game over. And it honestly, if it wasn't for that shorthanded goal, the Flames looked like they were tying it up. It's not, I know it's hard to say they're gonna score there, but they had every indication they were gonna score, and that's been indicative of this the power play all year. Like they are 30th ranked in the league, and I think that top power play unit has more than enough talent to be in the top 20.
Yeah, I mean, look, top 20 is even not much of an ask for this group.
Exactly,
to not be at the bottom of the NHL standings is kind of where you'd like to be, but man, it's a tough one for the Calgary Flames, and they took it in the teeth. Last night will be a good reminder of what the importance of special teams is. And, you know, the penalty kills survived some pretty big losses in all of this. I don't think we've talked about that maybe enough, about how you lose a guy like Chris Tanev, you lose an Elias Lindholm. Those are staples on a Flames penalty kill that's been really strong. And I think they've actually done a pretty good job sustaining those losses on the penalty kill. But the power play for me is just the one that we've talked about all season long. The approach just hasn't changed. I've actually liked Daniil Miromanov captaining one of those power play units from the defensive perspective. I just like that it's a simple, straightforward approach for Daniil to get pucks on net, whether it's a slap shot or a wrist shot through the lane, whatever it is. I like that perspective from Daniil, but it hasn't been enough. There's just not enough. There's not enough urgency. There's not enough puck movement. It's very predictable to defend, and that's on this group that, again, you can say doesn't have that superstar, but you can't tell me they don't have the talent to at least be, I don't know, like you said, top 20 doesn't even seem like that far. I mean, you don't even have to be in the top half of the NHL of 32 teams. You got to be a hell of a lot better than you are right now, because this is just to the point where it cost you last night. I really think it did. And that going off of that Kevin Rooney one, you can get a power play goal off a coach's challenge there. You can turn momentum. But, man, is it a frustrating watch right now for the Calgary Flames. And that's a sentiment shared by head coach Ryan Huska. He spoke to the media post-game following a loss to the Washington Capitals on Tuesday.
Your thoughts on the game, Brad?
5-on-5, I thought we did some things that we liked. I don't think we did a good enough job special team-wise. For me, that was the difference in the game. Both our power play not generating anything for us, but also giving them momentum, and our penalty kill gave up too.
Is it easier said than done to defend Ovechkin when he's in that spot? Like, how's the coach game plan for that?
Yeah, I think there's different ways. For us, we try to make it look like that pass isn't available to him over there, and then we trust our D-man to block those shots, and the one that went in tonight went off a Raz and in, and sometimes that happens.
What do you think of Dustin Wolf's play?
I thought he was okay. I mean, that goal I just talked about, that's a tough one. You're not going to do much with that because of the deflection, but I thought he was okay.
Everyone talks about his size. That wasn't a factor on the four goals allowed, though. Did you see the size a factor on those?
No. Hey, listen, that's going to be the narrative all the time. So, you know, it is what it is. The fourth goal beat him high. One was deflected. One was a backdoor tap in. So, and I think the first one he probably want to have back.
The Flames power play, why do you think the team wasn't able to generate as many chances as they should have?
That's a good question. I don't think we got into the zone efficiently enough. I thought it was a little bit, we were over pass happy early on, if you want to call it that, where I thought we had some chances to shoot the puck and we didn't. And it leads to going back and forth. And if you're doing that consistently, you're not fresh. So then you're starting to make tired decisions.
There you go. That's Flames head coach Ryan Huska. His thoughts post-game following a loss to the Washington Capitals. Again, 4 days in between games for the Calgary Flames. Next up in Vancouver on Saturday night. And expecting Jacob Markstrom to get the start there. We heard on Monday that he was back skating with the group. Expect to practice more this week when they're back on the ice Thursday, Friday, and hopefully get that start. It was another start for Dustin Wolf. He gave up 4 on the night, including 2 of those to Alex Ovechkin on the power play. How did he feel about his performance against Washington? Here's number 32 post-game against Washington.
Think about that performance as a group and maybe your own tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we just couldn't find the back net a couple more times. You know what, they got some skilled forwards over there, and obviously a guy that's chasing history and buried a couple. And, you know, it's, again, another learning lesson for myself and the group.
What do you think you'll take away from a game like this?
I mean, every time I get a chance to be in there, you know, it's reps of, you know, understanding traffic, how I can, you know, better see pucks, you know, manage my depth, and, you know, just ways that I can continue to translate my game from the American League to here.
You have first-hand experience now just about Ovechkin, that slot, that position, his office. Maybe from your vantage point now that you've faced it, what did you take away from it?
Yeah, I think he only really had one or two good opportunities, and you know, the one happened to hit Raz's stick and go upstairs. But you know what, that's a hell of a hockey player over there. And you know, he had a couple of good chances, but no, it's pretty cool to say he stopped a few.
No shame in being a victim of Alex Ovechkin. 147 goalies. You're the 147th. Who's let a goal in by him?
Yeah, well, I'm sure there will be a couple more. you know what? It's pretty special to play against a guy like that. And obviously didn't get the result, but, you know, that was pretty fun.
Are you the kind of guy who, when you're playing, you're like, I have to be better than the guy at the other end?
100%. And, you know, give that guy credit. He made some outstanding saves. And, you know what, that's the nature of the league. Every goalie in this league is really good, and you know, it's just an opportunity for me to come back next time and try to up my game.
If this is your last game on this call-up, how will you look back at this latest, you know, call-up?
I think I'll be pretty pleased. Again, reps are, you know, reps, and not a few outstanding outings, and you know, definitely some things to build on, and you know, a couple areas where you can always improve.
There you go. That's Dustin Wolf. His thoughts following a loss to the Washington Capitals, and I thought a pretty good self-assessment there. Glad he wasn't too hard on himself for the performance against the Capitals. Not his best, clearly, on the homestand, but also nothing to hang his head down low about. I think for a whole, got to be happy. He earned three consecutive starts. Who knows? Again, we're still waiting and assuming that Jacob Markstrom is healthy for Saturday, but I think he raised his profile once again with the organization, continued to show that the NHL is where he needs to be on a regular basis, and continued to show that his development is continuing. There were going to be bumps in the road. He was not going to jump into the NHL level and immediately become MVP or goalie of the year like he did in the American Hockey League. It just wasn't going to happen. It's a 22-year-old goalie who's really earned spot starts this year with the Calgary Flames and was finally able to get some momentum going on this call-up this season. So good for Dustin Wolf. Assuming once Jacob Markstrom's healthy, he'll be back with the Calgary Wranglers as they continue to push for a playoff spot. And again, should only be good vibes for Dustin, I think, following a good call-up from the Calgary Wranglers this time around.
Yeah, mental toughness does not concern me with him. I'll put it that way. He has confidence, and he has confidence with a victory or with defeat. And that's a really good sign for a 22-year-old. I say that as a 22-year-old myself. That guy is like 50 times mentally more tough than I am. If we're talking mental toughness, he's on steroids.
Yeah, he's got it figured out, and that's good news for the Calgary Flames. This text at 960-960 comes in on Dustin Wolf. And we'll get some more on the power play conversation we were having as well, but this one on Dustin. It says, Dustin Wolf has been awesome at every level. He had a loss, and one of the first questions you hear from the media was, size a problem? Look out your good eye. He's a 2-time American League Player of the Year. Maybe we should judge media on how insanely stupid the questions they ask. See what you have in Wolf. Keep him in the net. Markstrom might not even be here next year. It's not like we're in playoff position. Yeah, I mean, the size thing, for me, I don't even know how often I'm going to bring it up in conversation. It is what it is. It's not changing anything. As long as Dustin's able to, and there's no reason to think that he can't, there have been smaller goaltenders that have succeeded in the NHL, and I'm not betting against that guy's track record until I've seen it on a very consistent basis that he can't do it. I'm not going to bet against him. So, yeah, I think the Flames should feel, and I think they do feel, even before this stretch of starts for Dustin Wolf, very good about where his progression's going. And I think as a Flames fan, you can be excited to see more of him on a regular basis next season. And whether that's a tandem or it's a split or whatever you want to call it, it's Markstrom, it's Vladar. I think Dustin Wolf's continued progression in the Calgary Flames system is really, really good. As Ned and Coldeal said, Wolf has been awesome at every level as a starting goaltender. Now he's not the starter of the NHL level. He just has to learn how to be a backup until it's time. Everybody just be patient.
Listen, we can talk about the game against Montreal, and you could say maybe, you know, Montreal's not the best team, whatever. He just beat the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yep.
And looked incredible. Like, so yes, the odd bad game. I can't blame a lot of those goals on Dustin last night. I really can't. There's the first one for sure. Dylan Strome, he was down early. And as a small goalie, listen, I wasn't a goalie myself, but I really don't think, you know, that helped him. But the rest of the goals, I can't blame on him.
No, I think he's, I've been impressed with what he said, with what he's done. And I think even despite it finishing potentially on a loss before he goes back down to the Wranglers, I don't know how you can't look at his most recent call-up as a really successful one for Dustin Wolf. A couple of texts on the power play conversation that we had. just how frustrating it's been for the Calgary Flames. Special teams as a whole, an issue against Washington. They give up two on the power play. They don't score on three opportunities. This one says, guys, to use an MLB analogy, if your team batting average is 175, the hitting coach gets fired. If you're 30th in the league in power play percentage through 80% of the season, your power play coach should get fired. This one is easy. This text says, Savard is a waste of salary. Probably a bit much, but I think there are other things that Mark brings to the table aside from the power play. And yes, I know that's going to be the focus, and it's what we're talking about right now, but it is, you know, there's a player experience there. There's a guy that knows Calgary as well.
And an offensive genius when he played at that. And listen, Gretzky didn't really turn out to be the best coach. I know that doesn't say everything, but like offensively, and especially from a playmaking standpoint, and you've got a guy like Jonathan Huberdeau, like you'd think he could help a little bit.
Yeah, it's and I never, don't get me wrong, coaching is part of it, and I'm never going to dismiss that part of it because they're laying out the blueprint for you in a lot of ways, but they don't get to execute it, right? There's only so much that they can do, and at some point it's going to fall on the shoulders of the guys out there running it. So for me, there's a lot of blame to go around, and that's not a good thing for this Flames team that needs to find some sort of power play success before the end of the season for sure and start to look forward to it.
I don't think Savard's plan is to pass the puck along the blue line until you get pressured and then throw a shot on net. I don't think that's his strategy, and I don't think his strategy is also to slow it right down. I don't think that's the case.
Good point. This text says, I don't know if I missed it earlier in your conversation regarding the incredible number of turnovers which the Flames commit each game, but that is also killing them. That has to stop. It can be a bit frustrating.
I believe they're last in the league in giveaway, or, well, I guess top of the league in giveaways, but yeah, last time I checked, they were.
Let's see if NHL.com has anything for us on that.
I think it was a couple games ago that was the stat that they lead the league in giveaways, which is, I didn't even think about it until I saw that, and then I'm like, oh, you know what? That actually checks out a little bit.
Regardless of whether, you don't want to be chasing the game like that. Face-offs have been an issue for this team. Giveaways. Anytime you're chasing the game, it's generally never good for you, and I think that's a pretty good example of it for where the Calgary Flames are at. That's a bit on what we thought last night on the game. We'll get Julian McKenzie's thoughts when we come back, take a break, and bring in the Calgary Flames writer for The Athletic. He's also a contributor here on Sportsnet 960. His thoughts on what he saw from the Flames over this four-game homestand, and his thoughts even on Dustin Wolf and his four-game audition here for the Calgary Flames that included taking over for Dan Vladar in the game against Colorado and getting three straight starts. More on the Flames when we come back. It's another edition of Sportsnet Today, and it's here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, hour one rolling on. Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon talking all things Flames here in hour one. End their four-game homestand with a 2-2 record. Losses to Colorado and Washington. Now 4 days off for the group, at least from game action. So they take on the Vancouver Canucks on Saturday in Vancouver and then back to Calgary for a one-game homestand on Sunday against the Buffalo Sabres. And continue the Flames chat with our next guest. You know him, you love him. Contributor here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, and writer for The Athletic covering the Calgary Flames. It's our pal Julian McKenzie joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. What's up, J-Mac? How are you, pal?
Doing really well, man. Good to hear from you. I'm used to the fact that people in the market know me. I'm used to the fact that people in the market know me, but do they love me? I'm not convinced of that yet.
I love you. Isn't that enough? Is that not enough love for you?
More than you know.
I love you too, J-Mac.
Yeah, Shan also love feels too, a certain Shan. Way about you. So you
love
got
you
a
too,
couple.
Shan. I appreciate it.
You got a couple fans. What did you make of last night, man? Sure feels like special teams played a pretty big role in that loss to Washington, but how did you see it?
Yeah, their penalty kill didn't help them, and it didn't help that they had to fend off arguably the greatest goal scorer we've seen in our generation. And when they were given opportunities on the power play, they struggled to generate chances. Ryan Huska said that they were a little too pass happy yesterday. I didn't even think their movement at times was particularly that good. And it ultimately did hurt them. Of course, in that matchup, we're going to all focus on Dustin Wolf and how he performed in that game. And I was trying to think, like, how many of those goals were really on him? Maybe one, potentially, but I don't necessarily think he played a terrible game. I did like how he responded at the end of that game. I know you remember how he was after the San Jose game, but he at least looked a little bit more composed, and he even had a little bit of humor allowing those goals from Alexander Ovechkin. So even in a loss, I think the way that Dustin Wolf composed himself, that's still important for his development. But for the team as a whole, yeah, not one of their better nights. Special teams dooming them. Washington did play a little hungrier at times. Not a good game for the Calgary Flames.
Let's touch on the penalty kill side of things before we talk about the power play. And I mentioned this in the first segment, and you know, looking at it as a whole, I actually think the penalty kill has survived pretty well, all things considered, because we talked a lot about the 5-on-5 impacts of some of the guys that this Flames team have traded away this season, J-Mac. But I mean, even going back to, you know, the Nikita Zadorov trade, you know, Elias Lindholm, Chris Tanev, Noah Hannah, these are big pieces of the Flames penalty kill, which was such a strength for them. And I actually think that the group deserves a whole lot of credit for how they've managed those losses, at least on the penalty kill side of things.
Yeah, well, I thought going into this season, and I guess that counts for all the pieces that have since left, but I thought one thing we didn't have to worry about with this Flames team would be their defensive structure, whether at 5-on-5 or with the penalty kill. There were some struggles at the beginning at 5-on-5, but considering how that penalty kill has been for them, I'm not completely surprised that it has held up as much, which is in turn what made their performance yesterday all the more surprising, even if it was Alexander Ovechkin at that other end. But they're still hanging in pretty good for this year right now. They still have a top five PK in the league. They're actually tied for fourth. They're tied for fourth, I think, with the Rangers, actually, for best PK in the, for fourth best PK in the league. But just for whatever reason, against the Washington Capitals yesterday, just the missed coverages, and also just, I mean, Ovechkin, the shot from yeah, the spot. Like, not many guys are going to be able to stop that, right? I mean, the net front goal that he got, the tip, there was a blown assignment there. But that shot he got from the circle, that's vintage Alexander Ovechkin. I think it was Mark Lazarus who tweeted yesterday that goal could have fit in 2012, that version of himself. But yeah, when you're going up against one of the best goal scorers in the game, it's always going to be a tough assignment.
Power play was a big topic for us following last night's game. It's been a big topic all year long. And when you look at it, the personnel's changed a lot, but the result hasn't. And well, you bring up that stat about where they are on the penalty kill this season. I believe sitting 30th right now, if not 31st in the league when it comes to power play percentage. What's the biggest issue that you see right now with this team when you watch the power play, Julian?
Man, I think just, I mean, the chances, they weren't there against the Capitals. I think just generally speaking, I'll go back to what I've said about this power play at the earliest point in the year. When I did talk about it, I still don't think the personnel that's there is the right one. My understanding of the power play is that they want quick movement. They almost don't want the guys thinking. They kind of want everyone to know their next move. And I think certain guys on the power play just don't have, they're not built for that speed. They're not built for that quickness. And maybe it's just, I think it's a personnel and coaching thing. I mean, we've seen that Mark Savard's tactics have worked for other teams. Maybe it just doesn't work for this iteration of the Calgary Flames, but maybe it's just a matter of getting guys who fit that. I mean, I thought Daniil Miramanov, for the limited amount of time he's been with the team, I thought he's been able to get some sort of a grasp of what's needed for him to make that power play work. But I'm just not convinced that everyone else has that. And I shouldn't say they don't have it down. I just don't know if it's the fit for the composition of players. I think if you get as many young, skilled, fast-tempoed players who run that scheme, you have something there. The Flames are not necessarily a faster team, and they work really hard, but they still need those high-end skilled players, I think, to kind of pull that off. And I think when guys like Connor Zary saw a little bit of success, I mean, he has a little bit more skill than maybe some of the other guys on the team that would work. We know how much of a pass-happy player Jonathan Huberto is, and he can find success there too. But I still think in terms of the personnel on that power play, I think that's what's going to make that work. But I'm not sure what's going to happen with the team and that power play structure for next season and beyond. I'm really curious about what they do in that.
Yeah, it is, because I think at different times we've seen, remember early on, Andrei Kuzmenko looked like he was going to bring a spark to it. And I really agree with your point. It's been a good one for me too, to see Daniil Miramanov. I've liked the approach that he's brought to it, but you know, you make a good point about the system and how it's reflecting on the players, because I don't know about you, Julian, and you and me have talked about this a lot when we've had our shows together. You know, there isn't that superstar. There isn't that guy that, you know, really feasts on the power play here. But I also don't look at this team and go, yeah, that's a 31st ranked power play. Like, I think, you know, you put out a power play with Huberto and Kadri and some of these other guys, like, I mean, is top 20 even like a hard ask for this group? Like, I don't think this is a talent issue for the group.
This was supposed to be, Mark Savard said this at the beginning of the year, this was supposed to be a power play that was going to be on the top end in the league, considering the personnel that's there. And it just has not been there for whatever reason. But I also think of some of the other power plays we've seen come at the Saddle Dome. Think of when Colorado was on the power play the other night against this team, the movement, and also the options at the faceoff dot. Like, you have Nathan MacKinnon just chilling at the circle, and you're like, oh, man, good luck. Good luck dealing with him. Tampa Bay, when they've been in that building, Nikita Kucherov down low. We already mentioned Alexander Ovechkin. I don't think the Calgary Flames have a power play option that strikes fear in an opponent's heart. And it is what it is with this roster. And every time we've seen them not work, it's okay. It's they're not moving or they're not getting chances inside. It's the execution that plays a part in it or what have you. But I still think the personnel and the scheme just doesn't fit. And the Calgary Flames are going to have to deal with this once the season ends and heading into next year, whether they keep on Mark Savard or they go into a different direction. I'm not trying to suggest anything with that. I'm just saying that something has to change.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way of putting it, is whether it's the coach or it's the personnel, something has to change, because this level of power play is, again, as you and me have sort of discussed, this isn't okay, because this is the point where it's, you know, I think it's visibly hurting this team, right? It's not even to the point where it's not just effective, but it's almost become a momentum killer for them, Julian.
We have people joking that whenever the Flames should get power plays, they should refuse them. You never want that out of a power play. Like, no, you're absolutely right. It's not working for this team. And we've heard Brian Huska also say that this team should also have a 5-on-5 mentality when they play on the power play, because they have seen more success at 5-on-5. The fact that the power play is not working as well as I thought it would, because I really thought with Mark Savard in there, with the players that are there, I really thought that this power play was going to turn a corner, considering what we had seen last year. The whole thing with Daryl Sutter was that he was holding some of those offensive players back. And, well, it hasn't necessarily changed the way that at least I thought it was going to. I know I wrote the whole story on Mark Savard at the beginning of the year. And look, I still think it's just not a good fit between both sides, but we'll see how it goes.
Did want to touch on Dustin Wolf with you. I know we talked a little bit about it in his game specifically against Washington as part of this conversation. But looking back on the homestand as a whole for Dustin Wolf, he gets the third period against Colorado and parlays that into three straight starts. I think it's been said by many, and I'm curious to your perspective on it, Julian. This was some of the best NHL hockey we'd seen from Dustin Wolf, and a great reminder of why the Flames have so much faith and so much hope in this young man, hey?
Yeah, I liked his composure. I liked that, especially in the Vegas and the Montreal games, when the quality of chances improved, he rose to the occasion. And I know I alluded to it earlier, but I liked how he responded in defeat yesterday. It was a much different situation compared to what it was like for him a month earlier when he lost that game to San Jose, when it was his first NHL game in how many games. Like, this is a player who is trying to take advantage of being around the NHL team and not just playing games. It's so much more than that. It's taking part in practices. It's hanging around the players and getting used to being in that NHL space and being used to being an NHL player, even conducting yourself around people and signing autographs on kids' arms and holding doors open for people. Like, it's so much more that goes into him just showing up on the ice and doing his little fancy pregame routine and then just playing 60 minutes. Dustin Wolf in this situation, where pretty much since he's been called up, he's seen time. Even in that first game, Colorado, where Dan Vladar starts, he came in relief in that third period.
Mm-hmm.
With all the other times where he's come up, he's around for a couple days. Maybe he's a backup. Maybe they just have a third goalie around. Maybe he gets to play a game or two. It has been such a short learning time, and then immediately he gets sent back to the American Hockey League. In this situation, it's been like, what, a week?
Yep.
Since he's been called up with the team, getting to be around those guys, taking part of practices. I know they have the days off this week, but this is extremely helpful for a player who has to go through that adjustment period of being around NHLers before he has to get sent back down to the AHL. And I think with the way he's performed, I know the Washington game didn't go his way, but those two wins against Vegas and Montreal, I think, were really good for him, for Flames management, and for the fans too, who still have that belief. And while I don't think he's produced enough for the Flames to just say, all right, he's our number one guy going forward, I think when it comes time for this summer and they figure out what the future is for Jacob Markstrom, you have to have Dustin Wolf in mind when you make those decisions.
Great minds think alike, because that's exactly where I wanted to go with you next. And that's, I don't know how much we've talked about whether or not Dustin's situation has changed in the wake of all the talk around Jacob Markstrom and the trade deadline for the Calgary Flames, because, you know, there are people on the text line, you've read it, we've done shows together, we've talked about this before, that, you know, would like to see a Markstrom-Wolf tandem next year. There are some that feel they're ready to go young and go total Vladar-Wolf next season, or maybe some other combination. Has your perspective changed on how it's going to look next year for the Calgary Flames in goal, given all the noise that we've heard about Jacob Markstrom the last couple weeks leading up to the trade deadline?
I've written it. I when I do the CJ show, we've talked about it too, and I'm in agreement with my co-host on that podcast. I would be very surprised if Jacob Markstrom was still with the Calgary Flames starting next season. That's not for me to say that, you know, it's an absolute certainty that he's gone, but considering how things went and how they played out publicly, and then the deadline passes, if Craig Conroy and Jacob Markstrom sit down and the decision ends up being that Markstrom stays, I would be surprised. And it would be very intriguing to know how that came to be for both sides to come together and say, hey, you know what? Jacob Markstrom staying here is the best thing. And of course, again, as I mentioned before, Dustin Wolf hangs in the balance, because if Markstrom leaves, you're looking at a tandem of Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf, and they go young, and you're looking at two young guys pushing each other, and you have to live with the growing pains of Dustin Wolf, and you sort of have to hope that Dan Vladar is able to produce a lot better than what he's done this season and even parts of last season as well. If you have Markstrom-Wolf, that would be a really good situation, considering how much Dustin looks up to Jacob, and Jacob obviously still playing at a high enough level. There is a whole other conversation to discuss whether or not the Flames are going to try to contend with Jacob Markstrom still in the fold, but we're going to leave that to the summer when they figure out what they do with that player. But I still would be a little surprised if it got to that point where Jacob is staying, mostly off of how things were sort of playing out behind the scenes, it seems. But nothing is impossible.
He's Julian McKenzie, covers the Calgary Flames for The Athletic, and a co-host on Sportsnet Today as well. Regular contributor to Sportsnet 960. He's joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, chatting all things Calgary Flames on this Tuesday following a loss to the Washington Capitals. News we saw today, Julian, Jacob Peltier sent down to the Calgary Wranglers. We'll see if he plays tonight in their game against Bakersfield, but a couple of nights off for Jacob after seeing his ice time kind of dwindled down in the last few games that he was in. Good chance to reset for him with the Wranglers. What have you sort of seen out of Jacob's game lately?
Yeah, he's not playing with that same effectiveness that we saw of him in parts of last year. And even when he first came back from that shoulder injury earlier this year, and then he had that game against the Rangers where Jacob Trouba knocked him out, it feels like as if since that injury, since that second one, he has not been effective. I think him playing it with the Wranglers is good. We already know that he's playoff eligible in the AHL this year, so we knew regardless of how it was going to go from the NHL, there were going to be more reps coming for him at the minor league level, and I think it's to his benefit. No sense having him at his point in his development just sit on the bench and not get in games or play 5 minutes like he did the other night, I believe, against Vegas, when he could be playing with the Wranglers, playing in a top six role, contributing offensively, and gaining some of that confidence back. Jacob Pelletier is at his best when he feels himself, when he's confident, and we all know how vocal he is in that locker room. But he's also shown that he can provide that energy in a punch for the Flames when he's on the ice, and he just hasn't shown that in the last few games that we've been able to see him play. So I have no issue with him going back to the minors. I wonder if that's just going to be it for him there, or if they call him back up before the end of the NHL season. It'd be nice to see him at least get one or two more games in, or a handful of more games in, depending on where they're at. But he just needs that confidence back, and I don't see any issue with him going down to the minors.
Before we let you go, we've talked a lot about the new-look D pairings for this group post-trade deadline. We've seen Nikita Hochuk in for a couple games. We saw Joel Hanley draw back in the last couple as well. Daniil Miromanov has been a staple since he joined the group back in Tampa Bay, or in Florida, I should say, a couple weeks ago now. What have you made of some of the new guys joining and how this new D-core is coming together for Ryan Huska?
I touched on with Miromanov. I've liked what he's been able to do on the power play. He's been able to produce offensively, too. I think he's been he surprised me. You could definitely tell with the size, the skating ability, there's something there in this player, and he could, and I mean, the fact that they've already signed him for the next few years, he's going to be a player we should be able to see for a while. I'd like to see a little bit more out of a Kochuk. I'm not really noticing him that much in these last few games, but you could also argue, hey, defensively, you want that out of a guy. Joel Hanley definitely just looks like a bottom pairing seventh defenseman type of player, which is fine. You really need just bodies to kind of help you finish the season at this point. And I think just generally speaking, I know we've made that a topic in the last few days, just seeing these guys on defense try to adjust to the new concepts and strategies that a lot of these other guys on the team have been used to for a good chunk of the year. And even for a guy like Oliver Shillington, with the knowledge that he has with and the relationship he has with Ryan Huska and some of the other guys, that's helped him too a little bit better than some of the other guys. Yeah, we're seeing some of the growing pains play out on ice. Even Miromanov yesterday, I remember, to forget the play exactly, but there was a stretch where he found himself in a really awkward position in between a couple guys. That's a guy just getting used to how things are being done with the Calgary Flames, and you can't really blame them. These guys coming in after the deadline and still needing a little bit more time to get settled.
Julian, real quick, you had a video yesterday that went viral. I need to talk about this quick. If you haven't seen the video, JK McKenzie on Twitter. The kid on the shootout, the Saddle Dome in between periods, unbelievable move, but the celebration is unmatched, hitting, doing the worm on the ice, and I'd say flawlessly. But can you just talk about the sheer magnitude of talent that we saw last night from that kid and the even better celebration?
Can I be honest with you guys?
Yeah.
So like we were so that was playing out at intermission, and I think I was writing at the same time. I was looking down my laptop and Aaron Vickers was right next to me. And that, like, for people who didn't realize what was going on, at some of these Flames games, they have these little like shootouts between these two different youth programs and they go back and forth.
Yeah.
And that kid made the shot and I was writing. And then all I hear is Vickers saying, "Whoa, he did the worm." And I was like, "What?" So I didn't even see it live. And then I looked up at the replay. I'm like, "Yo, like that's really sick." And then they had the interview with the kid. And I was like, all right, I got to film this for myself and see what it is. The fact that kid had all of the sauce in the world to just do that, That's really cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool. That's exactly what this game needs. And I can't wait until some angry dude on Twitter sees it and is all like, we don't want our kids doing that. Back in my day, we just celebrated normal. Like, nah, man, like, let the kids celebrate. Let them do his thing. It's cool that people online think it's cool. And a lot of different outlets have been taking the video and sharing it. It's cool. I bet that kid, he's probably in school today. He's probably the coolest kid
His
school today. I mean, he gets to see himself on TSN, Bar Down, Sportsnet, like NHL, Spittin' Chicklets, like all these other different outlets. Like, he gets to be cool, man. Good for him.
Projected top 10 in 2032, you think?
I mean,
just on the Shelly at least.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you got to at least consider him, right, man? He's tell you what, the Calgary Flames, man, homegrown.
That's what I'm saying.
Right there, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Put him on a line with Tidge and Joe again. Let's see what happens.
Yes, sir.
Julian, before you go, you're wondering about the love in the city of Calgary. This text came in and said, I want to state Julian has become one of my absolute favorite hockey media people. Love his writing, even better on the radio. Grateful to have Julian in Calgary. Yep. And I second all those sentiments, my man. Thanks for hopping on again today.
Thanks. I realized that sounded like I was fishing for compliments. I didn't mean for that to happen.
You deserve them. You deserve them, my man. Thanks, all right, buddy.
Talk to you guys soon.
See ya. That's Julian McKenzie, contributor here on Sportsnet 960, and, of course, covering the Calgary Flames. For The Athletic, he joined us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, chat all things talking Calgary Flames on this Tuesday. Before we go, I want to pass along a sad piece of news here in the Calgary community. Former NHLer Chris Simon has passed away today at the age of 52. Ontario native, over 1,800 penalty minutes, 101 fighting majors, and a 15-year NHL career. He won a Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche in 1996 and would go on to make finals appearances with Washington and, of course, the Calgary Flames, where he would score 5 goals in 16 playoff games, including this one in the Stanley Cup final against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Chris Simon passes away at the age of 52, and we'll remember Chris and think about his friends and family on a day like today. I'll leave you with this memory of Chris Simon in the Stanley Cup final against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
McGinley moves it well to center and gets his own, eluding two hits.
Gets that shot, and then on the third try, tips it in. And watch the celebration.